friend back when I was at SMU. His name was Gene Cook, and Gene's wife wanted a town car. She wanted a Lincoln town car so bad that she decided she was going to start praying for that town car. And so every night before she went to bed, she would pray, "God, give me a town car. I want a town car. I need a town car. I've got 5 kids. Give me a town car." And she prayed it week after week after week for over a year. "Almighty God, give me a town car." What she got was a Yugo. And I can remember her husband sitting next to me in Old Testament class in undergraduate school there at SMU. And he was telling the story. And Dr. Power, who was the professor of that class, said that this is the way in which most Christians in our world today treat God and treat prayer. They view God, Dr. Power used to say, they believe that God was this great big ear up in heaven. And that ear is attached to a vending machine. And the objective of religion and prayer is to make that ear vibrate in just such a way that it sets off the vending machine and puts whatever you're praying for into your lap. Well, that's very cynical, but that's the way most people treat prayer. Gimme, 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 gimme. And they usually use passages of Scripture like today's to support their gimme, gimme, gimme prayers. "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Now, when I read the passage and I looked at it in the Greek and I realized, verse 14 is rather straightforward. "If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." He doesn't say, "If you ask me for some things, I will do it. If you ask me for this, but not that, I'll do this, but not that." No. "If you ask me in my name for anything, anything, I will do it." And so she thought, okay, anything is, a town car is anything, isn't it? A town car is anything, isn't it? God, we need a roof. A roof is anything, isn't it? God, we need carpet for the parsonage. The carpet for the parsonage is anything, isn't it?
Amen.
We have needs. And so we pray for those needs. And we might chuckle and we might laugh at someone praying for a town car and getting a Yugo. But what did she need?
A car.
A car. And she had little kids. Used to be a day and age when they used to have contests at college to see how many people you could get into a Volkswagen. Remember those? And you could get a whole lot of people in an itty-bitty little Volkswagen. Well, I'm sure she had fun doing that with her kids in her Yugo. She got her Yugo. Anything in my name. Usually, when we focus on that, we focus on the anything. What I want, what I think I need, what I believe will achieve what it is that I think I need. Not what is really needed, not what I really need, but what I think I need, what I think will make me happy, what I think will achieve my ends. You notice it's my, me, and I. No. We focus on the anything and upon us And we usually miss a most important qualifier. Jesus says, in my name, in Jesus' name. If we ask for something in His name, now what does that mean? What does it mean to ask for something in Jesus' name? To ask for anything in Jesus' name. What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? Jesus knows our needs. Rose, Jesus knows your needs better than you know them. Isn't that right? She says, sure. Jesus, Craig, knows your needs better than you know them. He knows your prayers before you pray. He knows your situation. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going to go through. Dalton, God knows your needs. Billy, God knows your needs. Susan and Susan, God knows your needs. Gene and Gene and Gene, God knows your needs better than you do. Better than you do. God knows my needs better than I do. That just amazes me. But God in Jesus Christ knows our needs better than we know them. So when we ask in His name, most principle in our asking should be the name part, Jesus' name. Jesus, you know my needs. You know what I really need. You know what I'm going to need. You know my situation. You know where I've been. You know where I'm going. In your name. By your will. By your authority. In your power. Grant me what I need. What you know me to need. And do it in faith. Ask it in faith. That's what we're called to do. Sometimes we have not because we faith not. Because we have no faith. Because we don't exercise the faith that God has given us, the grace that God has given us to believe and to act. We don't really believe, therefore we do not act. And when we don't believe and when we don't act, even if we pray, there's no result. But if we believe, and we're willing to put our action behind our belief, let our belief undergird it, lift it up, and carry it forward. If we act on our belief in faith, if we pray for what Jesus knows we need, then we will receive it. Now, we may be surprised at what we receive. We may be totally shocked because what we thought isn't what God had in mind for us. Sometimes our own plans and our own objectives and our own ideas are worthless. In fact, I'd say they usually are. My own experience of that is very immediate. Had my plans carried forward this year, had what I had projected and planned to do this year been carried forward, the Thursday after Easter, I would have gotten on an airplane to fly to Hong Kong and would have gotten on a ship in Hong Kong and made a cruise to Osaka, Japan. Then I would have stayed aboard from Osaka to Vancouver, Trans-Pacific cruise, and would have docked in Vancouver on the 22nd. Had my plans been carried forward, I would have been 4 days, I forgot about the international dateline. I would have been 4 days away from Anchorage, Alaska, in the middle of the Pacific, with no way to get off the ship when my dad passed away. Had I been following my will, my plans, my objectives for me, I would have been half the world away when my mother needed me. And I can remember talking to the district superintendent about this planned cruise, and he said, "Well, Greg, it would be better if you weren't out of town those months, because I don't know if we're going to be moving you this year. So change your schedule if you can. Don't be away for that length of time." That was almost a month cruise, friends. 22 days. Don't be away for that length of time. Take a shorter cruise earlier. Don't be away. He had his own needs, his own concerns. I had my needs and my concerns. God had his concerns. And when I prayed to God and said, "Okay, God, what do I do? The DS has asked me to do this. I really want to make this cruise. The DS has asked me to do something else. What should I do?" And I prayed for it. And what I wanted to hear was God say, "Don't worry, you're not moving. Go ahead and take the cruise." I wanted God to say that to me. I wanted to hear it with my ears. I asked Dorcas, my dog, "Please bark for me in that way, and then I'll believe it's real." But every time I prayed about it, every time I prayed about what I should do, and this was back in January, every time I prayed, the only feeling I got was, I needed to be here in May. I needed to be here. I needed to be here. Not half a world away. Not doing what I love to do, which is out on the water, but here. And when the announcement came that I was going to be moving back around Easter, I thought, okay, that's the reason why God needed me to be here. God needed me to be here because I needed to get ready to move. And God may have used that circumstance, and he used that circumstance to get my attention. But my friends, God knew I needed to be here for my mother, my brother, myself, because he was taking my dad home. He knew it. He knows your circumstance. He knows your needs. He knows what's going to happen to you, when and where. He knows what you're going to need before you know. Listen to him. Ask him and listen. And don't fool yourself. Don't allow the devil to fool you into thinking you're hearing something else. Listen to him. Pay attention to that sense down in here. Listen to what others are saying. And then act in faith. If you ask for anything in my name, it will be given to you. The key is asking in his name. When it's all me focused, when it's all I focused, when it's all focused on what I conceive of as my needs and what is good for me, my friends, when we do that, we're not asking in faith and we're not asking in his name. I need to say that again, because usually that's where we get off course. When we ask and it's me focused, I focused, my situation focused, my understanding focused, a focus on what I believe is best for me, when we ask and the focus is on us and not on God and not on Jesus but on us, when we ask, when we pray, we are not asking in faith, we are not praying in his name. And so we shouldn't be surprised when the answer is no. What is in his name, my friends? What is it for us in his name? What should we be asking for in his name? What should we be asking for in faith? Focus on Him, in the power and authority and the majesty of His name. What should we be asking for today, my friends? That's what each of us has to ask ourselves. You ever paid attention to that Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples? I mean, sometimes we go flying through it. We pray it through by rote. We don't pay attention to what we're praying. And we get it done and we don't even remember what we prayed. Take a look at it. You'll find it in the back of your hymnals on pages 94. Actually, it's the one that we use is 95. 94 is the ecumenical version. Let's look at the one that we normally use at 95. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Say it with me. On earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not my will, not your will, not your will, Rose, not your will, Isla, not your will, Jean, not my will, not your will, thy will, God, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Already in heaven established on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're called to pray for. That's how we are called to pray. That God's will be done in our lives. That God's will be done in our lives, in your life, in the life of this church, in the life of this community. That God's will be done on earth as it is already established in heaven. And we are called to set our lives in action. Acting in faith. Faithing that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So my friends, listen to God's voice. Look around you. Pay attention to what God is doing in your life. Speak to your brothers and sisters in Christ. To get a perspective that they have for you. But most especially, as was sung today, be still and know that He is God. Listen for what He says. And then act in faith, my brothers and sisters. Pray in His name, truly in accord with His will. For when you pray in accord with His will for you, then His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That one needs an amen, friends. Pray in accord with His will. And when you pray in accord with His will, then His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.